Good morning. I have the honor of being here today where Pastor Randy is with his family, enjoying a well-deserved mini staycation. It's amazing as we have been listening to how wonderful it's going to be when the Lord comes again. How wonderful all of what we hear about in Revelation. Now that just stirs up the hope that we have. And as it should be, that's exactly what God wants us to see. And how sad it is that that's not the way it's been since Genesis. How sad it is that we have done so many things that were not right in God's eyes. And it's not just when we look at Israel, which we'll be looking at to some degree today, and that's what our scripture in Psalm 85 has been about, but it's also in our lives today. So open your hearts and minds and realize that if this is speaking to you, that's God, not me. I spent a lot of time without knowing what's going on in your life, but he certainly has spoken to me as I prepared for this today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we come to you to ask that you keep us humble, Lord, as we go into your word. Father, you know where I am totally inadequate. But Lord, you are the Almighty. And I pray that we hear you today, Lord, and that you give us the strength of faith to follow you every day. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. So to give you some background on Psalm 85, we won't go all the way back to Genesis, but we will have you understand that these were very difficult times that they were in some ways coming out of. The Israelites were returning to their homeland, and what a joy that was. Fortunately, it didn't meet all of their expectations. They had been gone for hundreds of years, many of them, and things changed. I think that we've all seen changes here just in 10, 15, 20 years. Imagine being gone for hundreds of years. So by doing things that were anything but what God wanted, God needed us to see that we were going the wrong way. And in order for us to see that we were going the wrong way, it took coming up against conflict. It took going up against trials and difficulties and painful situations. It took being conquered. Because you see, our way gets in God's way. Our way is our pride getting the best of what God had planned for us. And the only way to deal with that, as we talked about in Sunday school today, sometimes there needs to be destruction before there can be construction. And so what God was doing was tearing down the pride of the people, tearing them down so that he could build us up again. So in came the Assyrians. The Assyrians came and they attacked the northern tribes, those 10 tribes that were referred to as Israel. And they conquered them. And they got rid of them. And they put them wherever they felt like putting their conquered people. It was a sad time. And it was also an opportunity for the southern tribes, Judah, Benjamin, to be able to look and see, wow, look what God allowed to have happen. They didn't look very closely. Time passed. God needed to do the same thing over again as now the Babylonians come in. And the Babylonians defeat the Assyrians. The Babylonians defeat Judah. And the Babylonians take them out and put them where they would want them. God wants to put us where he wants us. And we resist. God will break down that pride for our own good. He knows the plans he has for us. They are good and not evil. Why do we resist? We resist because we forget. We forget all of the lessons that we see throughout the Bible that lead us up to this wonderful time in Revelation. We forget. We forget how God has never left us alone. God has never forgotten us. And we forget. We get as comfortable and complacent as the Israelites in our forgetting and taking God for granted. And I'm sorry, but I believe that we in this country, and I actually have a feeling that we here on Maui may forget the most. We have it so easy. And as soon as you think about how difficult you know your life is, as I'm saying it's so easy, you do remember there are people coming up from South and Central America who could talk to you about what it is to not have it easy. We have it so easy that we actually complain if we're without power for 30 minutes. We actually complain if there's flood watches and the noise comes across our TV screen. How quickly we forget how blessed we are. How quickly the Israelites forgot. But God never forgot. God never forgot them. God had it all orchestrated, as the entire Bible is orchestrated, to show us the redemption that we have through Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. God has it all orchestrated for the Israelites to be brought out of their captivity and returned home. And they were. Things did not go as they expected when they returned home. They were excited. They were going to be able to rebuild the city, rebuild the temple, renew their worship time with God, their relationship with God. They were excited. And then things got difficult. Things got painful. Things got scary. This was not an easy time at all. This was not what they expected. Why isn't this going to be better? And so instead of doing the things that they were supposed to do and getting back to their worship, the Lord God, they got into the things that were easier to do. They built their homes. They grew their families. They planted their crops. They could do those things. And that's where we find ourselves in Psalm 85. They've been doing the things that were easier, but they weren't doing the things that honored God. And as a result, crops were failing. Water wasn't as good as they thought it would be. The economy was taking a dip. And they didn't understand. They'd been brought home. What happened? So I've taken Psalm 85 and have broken it into three sections. Regrettably for Erica, she has no idea what those three sections are. We have past provisions, looking at verses 1 to 3. We have present prayers, looking at 4 to 7. And then we have promised peace, looking at verses 8 to 13. So past provisions. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sins. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. So they start with making sure that God knows that they didn't forget. Which is to say, they forgot. They had forgotten. They had hope that things could just go along as normal. And they were reminded that they needed God. So they make sure that God knows that we haven't forgotten. You know, it's interesting that as they make sure that God knows they haven't forgotten, they have feasts all the time. What a blessing that is to have a feast, to praise God for what he's doing. We just had a feast. Praise God for what he's doing. Some of us have a feast, and I'm not sure who they're giving thanks to. Possibly it's the cook, which is not a bad thing. But I'm not sure that they're aware of exactly how blessed we are. I'm not sure if they too have forgotten. And I think that we make it so much easier for every coming generation to forget when we don't sing God Bless America in the schools. You got to come to church to sing God Bless America. We don't have prayer in the school. You got to come to church to have prayer. Wow, why did we get so divided? Because we forgot. We've kept all the traditions. We've kept all the holidays. We've kept the times that give us a chance to have comfort, entertainment, feel good. We kept those. We just took God out of them. You know, I have no idea how the calendar all got worked out by Caesar that did it way back when, and how we've got the holidays the way they are, but I gotta believe that there was no accident that God has Thanksgiving right before we're going to go into Christmas, and that all of that comes just before we go into a new year. Will we remember? Will we remember how much God has sacrificed for us as we go into Christmas? I know we think of Easter, but do we think of how much he sacrificed for us at Christmas? If you were to imagine as you're sitting here that all of a sudden, poof, you became a cockroach. That's not a very pleasant thought. But that's not even close to the shift that God went through to come and be born as a baby. How much he sacrificed for us. And we forget. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. God said that through Isaiah 150 years before Cyrus was born. 150 years, he wasn't even born. Nobody knew about Cyrus. Who's Cyrus? I don't know. Isaiah's talking about this guy named Cyrus. God knew. God had a plan. God had a plan to use a nation that nobody was even thinking about. They weren't even on anybody's map or radar. God had a plan to save his people, to bring them out of that captivity and bring them back home to have relationship with him. God had a plan. How is it that we can see all of these things that we know today, whether it's Red Sea or wilderness treks that got fed and clothed, and or Cyrus? How is it that we can see these things and we can doubt that God has a plan? I think it's because we forget who we are in the whole scheme of things with God. Who are we? in all of what is, who are we? When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him? The psalmist reminds us of how small and insignificant we are. How unimportant we are in the scheme of things. The psalmist understood. Because you see, in relation to God, God the Almighty, it was his fingers that made everything. Every particle in the universe, God's fingers made them. I can't even conceive of that. I have no way. No way. And I think that's why we forget. Because we in some way want to say, I need a way. And if I can't have a way, I guess it's really not that important. It's important enough that God, who I can't conceive of, is mindful of me. Because you see, in relation to God, we're really, it's kind of a silly conversation. But in relationship with God, we are so precious and so significant to God that he did the unthinkable by sending his Son to die in our place. Many of you have children, and there is absolutely no way that you would ever even want to entertain a momentary thought of giving up your child to die for someone else. God had a plan. And we forget. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Wonderful prayer as they recognize all of what God has done. Wonderful awareness that God is the only answer for what they're facing. God is the only one who is steadfast and faithful. Revive us again, Lord. Make us more like you again, Lord. Make us humble again, Lord. Isaiah writes, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment." Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. What a wonderful thing it is to have whatever we need to be able to kindle a fire. Praise God. They weren't. They forgot. They forgot God when they kindled their fire. They forgot God when they did the things that centuries before they thought only God could create fire. They forgot God who creates fire. How often do we forget God as we see the things that we create, as we see how hard we work day in and day out to make the pay that we make, to be able to have the home that we have and the food that we have, how often do we forget God? Where is God in that equation for you? What a blessing it is if you are a family that says, praise God for the food that we're about to have by His grace today. That's a blessing. That's a wonderful thing. You might want to add to that prayer, if it's something that you think is important to you, Lord, help me to remember this as I'm working all day long, all week long. Help me to remember that I am able to do the things that I am able to do because of You. Praise God. How quickly we tend to run into darkness. How quickly we tend to try to hide the things that we don't want other people to see. And sometimes that darkness comes across as a smile on our face. I guess it really struck me years ago when someone mentioned to me they had a hard time coming to church. They had a hard time coming for a Thanksgiving service. They had a hard time because they felt so badly that everybody else was so blessed. Everybody else had such a perfect life with Christ, and they didn't. No, I won't put you on the spot. I was going to ask if anybody here is having that perfect life. Because my hand wouldn't go up, so I just thought I'd ask. Okay. You see, we don't think about darkness being our smile. If your smile isn't designed for one purpose, praise God, then it's darkness. You're covering something up. You're covering up a pain in your heart, a pain in your home. You're covering something up. And it's understandable. It doesn't make you a bad person. But please understand, look how it can stumble others when we come with our church smile and our church attitude. I know it didn't happen often, but I know it did happen that there were times when we would come to church, and I'm having a really difficult time with Dolan, which I know nobody can understand, but I had a really difficult time with him, and in that drive to church, it didn't look anything like it looked when we were in church. When I talk about our run to darkness, I'm not trying to say, come on, guys, quit it. I'm trying to say that we run to darkness. We try to cover up because we feel ashamed. God does not want you feeling ashamed. God wants you to feel blessed. In the midst of your shame, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your difficulty, praise God if you remember that He's your only answer. Praise God if you turn to Him to receive the answer. The psalmist here, he's a psalmist, I apologize. So the psalmist here is writing to tell us, I'm praying, Lord. I'm asking for this, Lord. And I can wait. Show us Your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us Your salvation. And he's waiting. He's waiting for an answer. Praise God who answers. But we forget. How many prayers do we lift up to the Lord and then move on? How many prayers do we lift up to the Lord, kind of identifying what it is that we need in case He missed it, so that we can then move on? How many prayers really are about God's will in our life? The psalmist was in such a painful place and recognized at this moment, as we all do at some moment, that God is my only answer. His way is the right way. Help me, Lord, to listen and wait and not forget again. Help me, Lord. Jesus said to them, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of a storm, "Why are you afraid, oh, you of little faith?" And he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea. There was a great calm. Jesus was literally a few feet away from them. And they forgot. God reminds us that the only way in which we can remember is through the fruit of the Spirit that we let in our hearts, in our lives, get out of His way so that He can grow that fruit. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We need that faithfulness, Lord. Help me. If I'm not feeling the faithfulness, I must be pushing you out of the way. Forgive me, Lord. Please forgive me for pushing you out of the way. Please forgive me for doubting you. Please forgive me, Lord, for thinking more of me than I do of you. Please forgive me. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also graciously with Him give us all things? A God who can forgive will not forget. He knows your needs. He made the ultimate sacrifice to meet your ultimate need. Why would He fail to do anything in between? He never fails. We forget. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people, to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Wow. I'm ready now, Lord. Let me hear now, Lord. Let your people hear now, Lord. Let us change our ways for your ways now, Lord. Please help us, Father. Please lead us, Father. Please help us not to go through this again. Please help us not to turn back to our folly. What a picture we see is as from the garden we rebel, and problems come and we repent. And as we repent, the Lord redeems. And then sadly, we repeat, and we rebel, and we repent. And He redeems. You know, as you look at that and you think of, for those of you who are parents, what that might look like with our children if they keep acting out and we keep forgiving them and putting them back in a nice place, and then they act out again and then we forgive them and we put them in a... If we think about that, you start to think, that sounds awfully spoiled. There's something wrong with this picture. So it's hard for us to have patience, but God clearly knows what it is to be long-suffering through the things that we do. Because God has a plan, And the plan is not to strike you with thunder and lightning. God has a plan. And it's to help you understand how much he loves you, to have sent his son to die for you so that you can be redeemed from your plan. Praise God. That's why he's so patient and long-suffering. That's why we see his mercy day in and day out that we say is new every morning, but it's new throughout the day. It's part of his plan to say, I love you. I love you. Please don't take me for granted. You need me for this plan to bless you. Don't forget. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God said that long before these problems came up and they were finding themselves back in Jerusalem. But the people forgot. The people forgot that there was a psalm that was written that said, 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. 7 times a day? 7 times a day they give thanks to the Lord for all that they have. 7 times a day they give thanks to the Lord for all of the things that he has done that just amaze them in their lives, and they are grateful. 7 times a day they give thanks that they can give thanks. They give thanks that they have the health to be able to give thanks. They give thanks for the fact that they can even stand up. And if they can't and they're lying down, they give thanks that they have the breath to give. We find so many reasons not to give thanks. 7 times a day, he gave thanks. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. This is a really, really difficult time of year for many, many people. It's difficult for more reasons that I have the time to talk about now, but if we just take a small glimpse, it's difficult because they are trusting in what they can do during this time of year. They are trusting in how well can they be happy and thankful. They are trusting in how well can they show their love for their family members in the way that they celebrate the Savior's birth. They are trusting in themselves. How painful that must be to forget that this is about God. You shall lie down in torment. The issues of depression are many, and I would never make light of them, since many of you know I suffer from it myself. However, at the core is we forget. At the core, God isn't reigning in the midst of the depths of the depression. Either I am, or my fears are, and my fears came from me. I forgot. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And he does. I often wish I was the 7 times a day person so that I wouldn't forget so easily. But he does. This is a hard time as people trust in themselves, as people trust in their families to do the things that will help them to feel better at this time, as people trust in their employers that will keep them employed during this time. Wow, we remember stories of people, whether Aloha Airlines or someone else, that was losing their job at this time when we all look forward to a wonderful Christmas. But we forget that Jesus does not need our gifts. And actually, neither do our loved ones. Jesus is looking at our hearts. Jesus wants our heart. And when we're told to love God and love your neighbor, the love was the same. So as I give the Lord my heart, and he says, this is what I'm looking for. It's not the sacrifices. It's a contrite, loving heart. How do you think that would feel to people you love and you're handing gifts to if you expressed that love to them? You can go with a ribbon, I guess, if it helps you feel any better. But if you express that love to them, I just love you so much. I'm just so blessed that you're in my life. I only regret that I'm not telling you more often throughout the week and the year. I'm sure there's somebody out there. I mean, there is the Grinch movie coming back. But I don't know who that's not going to make feel God's joy. As the love that you have for the Lord, you're expressing a similar kind of love for your neighbor, your loved one, and they feel God's love coming through you to them. Praise God for that. We do all sorts of things looking to feel better, and God wants us to rest easier than that. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world lives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That only means something to you if Jesus means something to you. Jesus only means something that makes a difference to you you believe in him. As Teresa says that she does, we who know Teresa know the change that that brings in her every day. That's belief in Jesus Christ. A change that happens because you love God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to point others to you. Praise God. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs from the ground and righteousness looks down from the sky. God had a plan. In God's plan, righteousness was coming to us through his son, Jesus Christ. In God's plan, he knew the time would come when that joy at the cross would come and he would look down from heaven. God had a plan. This psalmist, long before, 5 centuries and more before Christ was born, was pointing to the plan, was helping us to understand that what God is showing us now, what God is doing in our lives now, is kind of like as parents, when we want our child, with the exception of those who ride their bicycles really crazy fast, with parents who put training wheels on their child's vehicle, bicycle, and send them off to learn how to do that. That's part of God's plan through all the Old Testament to give the old saints those training wheels to understand that this is a temporary thing because it's going to get better. It's going to get better. if you trust me, if you believe in me. But because you're not trusting me yet, because you're not believing in me yet, we're going to put these training wheels on here. And you're going to make sacrifices day in, week out, month, year, regular periods of time. Because we got to get you focused to be far more intentional about the relationship that you have with me. Your Lord, the Lord God Almighty, God had a plan. Jesus Christ was the culmination of the plan. Jesus Christ was our opportunity to go, Lord, I don't fully get it, but I praise you for what you're doing. I praise you that I see this as part of your plan. We get a glimpse at how the plan continues to play out as Pastor Randy continues to go through Revelation. Because God had a plan. And the plan isn't like we think of a plan. It's not like a weekly planner kind of a plan. There is no end to the plan. But praise God that we who believe are part of that eternal plan. Salvation that gets talked about, where they ask for it there, and it's appropriate to ask for it there. They ask for it because they're asking for God's forgiveness. They're asking for God to renew their relationship with him. What a blessing it is when they see that starting to happen. It starts in their hearts, not in God's hearts. It starts in their hearts when they stop their forgetting. You know, one of the things that happens for me whenever I prepare a message, I spend way more time in God's Word than I ever do any other time. In many ways, that's to my shame. But God has a plan for each of us. What a blessing the time is that I spend in His Word. What a blessing how those issues of depression aren't there. Those thoughts of times in my life that I'd rather forget aren't there. Because I am so focused on God. God has a plan. And as broken as I am from the world's wars, please understand that that plan is just as available for you. That plan is there to help you with the struggles and the conflicts and the battles that you go through throughout your life. God has a plan to bring His peace to you. It does not mean that all these things get resolved. It means that He has a plan for you not to trust in all these things getting resolved, but to trust in Him. God has a plan. Don't forget it. Don't forget that you may not fully understand, you may not see how it all goes together, but it doesn't mean that He doesn't have a plan. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before Him and make His footsteps away. Make His footsteps away. I wonder who He's talking about. For to you who have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. And I apologize, it's for to this you have been called. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His footsteps. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. In the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. God had a plan. The plan was to follow. The plan was to trust. You cannot follow whom you don't trust. God had a plan to follow in His footsteps. When I was studying this, I couldn't help but to see a dad walking through the snow. Thank you, Lord, I don't have to do this anymore. A dad walking through the snow and the child following in the dad's footsteps. Wow. The tenderness of that moment, the trust that's in that moment, the faith that's in that moment, we get it. We need to grow it in our relationship with God. John's first apostle, he later writes, "But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." That's a relationship. You cannot just figure that you're walking in the way Jesus is walking and therefore you're abiding in him. I think we are so blessed to see people's marriages. And as we see people's marriages, hopefully they're reflecting what it looks like to walk with the Lord. Because our trust in our marriage does not begin with our spouse. Our trust in our marriage begins and ends with our Lord. And as that's what people see, praise God. Thank you for that opportunity. Because if I'm not abiding in him, if I'm not trusting in him, if I'm not following his footprints, his footsteps, if I'm not following Jesus, my wife and I are going to be in trouble. Because I'm either trying to follow her and I get lost, or she's trying to follow me and we're going to get lost, and this is not going to work out well. Praise God that I don't need to follow my wife. My wife does not need to follow me. We follow Jesus Christ. And because of following him, we get to talk more together. We get to walk closer together because we're following him. We're following in his footsteps. In many ways, this becomes easier if you're not married, which I love my marriage, and I would never say anything negative about anybody's marriage. But it doesn't mean that it can't be a little bit easier if you're not married because you don't have anybody else to be trying to keep pace with. Just Jesus. Lord, help me to walk in your footsteps. Lord, help me to trust in you. And Lord, help me not to get distracted by stuff that's off to the side, because I will get distracted by that. So, Psalm 85 shows us the example of a church coming together to pray in a time of crisis and also in a time to celebrate salvation. So, in what we've said today, how can that look in your life? What's your takeaway from that? Well, I'd like to really encourage you. 7 times a day, I praise you. I'd like to encourage you to consider that. 7 times a day, praise the Lord. Now, don't go getting all legalistic on it. I'm not saying to set your alarms. But if it helps, you might want to start with some alarms. We got training wheels, okay? But the idea is to remember, I am so blessed. Lord, help me not to forget. Because 7 times a day, I think it's going to be hard to forget what he's done, what he's doing, what he's promised to do. So I'd also like you to consider looking at our fighter verse today in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. What's God revealing to you? God says, you are a chosen people. I'm bad already, and I was doing better before. Forgive me, Lord. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession. It's not about us. It's about God. Once we were not a people. Now we're God's people. Once we did not have mercy, but now we have mercy. He says, beloved, he's talking to you. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, because we are all sojourners and exiles. Abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war on your soul. Every time you focus on meeting your need your way, your soul takes a hit. Because you are not trusting in God. You have forgotten God. So I hope you'll look that over with a different eye this next week and think, what's God saying to you? And in case you happen to just kind of cruise through the first two things I just said, maybe take every Saturday. And each Saturday, start keeping track, a piece of paper, a journal, your computer. We just got a wonder list kind of things. It helps great when you're shopping. Start keeping track of the challenge, the biggest challenge that you faced this last week. And also, look at a change that occurred this last week that you are so grateful for. Keep track. Now, if neither challenge nor change happened, you might want to look at your pulse, because something should have happened during this last week that you should be grateful for. And if not, because that is a possibility that you're not seeing it, then that's where you start your discussion with the Lord. Father, please help me to see this. If you would do that, I think when we come together next year at Thanksgiving, we'll definitely fill up our time with your praise reports. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.